everyone. Welcome to Point Breakaway, the podcast about the Kings, Ducks, anything else that comes to mind. I am Josh Cooper in Los Angeles. Shane O'Brien, co-host extraordinaire, wonderful human being, the man, the myth, the legend in Orange County. Obi, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, Coop? Not much, buddy. Just enjoying this nice California weather down here and excited to get in this podcast with you. I got a good guest coming on today and obviously you went to practice and got some pretty cool interviews from some of the boys, so let's get into it.
Yeah, the guest that you mentioned is Jack Campbell, Toronto Maple Leafs goaltender, former Kings goaltender. Will be coming back along with Kyle Clifford, my man crush, as Obi likes to point out over and over again. And I guess Jake Muzzin's hurt, right? So he's not playing in this game. But the Kings will be playing the Maple Leafs on Thursday, and we will have Jack Campbell on the podcast. So very, very exciting. And yeah, lots of King-centric stuff later on. But I wanted to start out with a really interesting story on the Anaheim Ducks that R. Eric Stevens wrote, in which he basically pointed out how the Ducks' defense has essentially thinned since the 2017 Western Conference Final, in which they played the Nashville Predators. And I'm going to give you this lineup here, Obi, of defensemen that was on that team. It was Cam Fowler, Hampus Lindholm, Sami Vatanen, Josh Manson, Brandon Montour, and your former defense partner, Kevin Bieksa. What do you think of that group?
Yeah, that's a very deep group. And, you know, that's when the Ducks were having some success. And like you said, that's when they went to the Western Conference Finals. And, you know, obviously with Bieksa, he just, you know, aged father time is undefeated. And he just got a little long in the tooth. And then, you know, we're going to get into Shea Theodore. And another guy I want to talk about is Brandon Montour, who was a great player for the Ducks, young up-and-comer, and now is playing in Buffalo. So, yeah, at that time, their D was as deep as any in the league. And it's one of the reasons they were having tons of success. And, you know, for whatever reason, Murph made the moves he made. But we can get into that if you want to.
Yeah, we will in a second. Shea Theodore was watching that series from the press box pretty much. And also Marcus Pedersen, another guy they traded away, was in the system. Eric then brings up how on Sunday when the Ducks played the New Jersey Devils, the defense was Josh Manson, Jacob Larson, Brendan Gooley, Michael Delzato, Christian Juice, and Matt Irwin. Now, granted, there have been injuries. Erik Branson's hurt. Hampus Lindholm is hurt. Cam Fowler is hurt, so that makes things look a little worse there. But overall, the big issue here and the deepest cut, as Eric brings up, is Shea Theodore. You played with Shea Theodore. How much does him not being on the Ducks hurt this team? And obviously, he was the cost of the Vegas Golden Knights having to take Clayton Stoner off the Ducks' hands. But overall, I mean, just, you played with him. How good was he? How much does him not being there suck? And will fans ever forgive the Ducks for letting him go?
Yeah, I mean, I just remember the year I went to, you know, Anaheim. I signed a two-way deal with the Ducks, which their team was, the American League team was going to be in San Diego. So for me as a veteran guy, obviously you go to training camp and, you know, I played in the NHL for 10 years and I felt like I had a little bit left in the tank. And, you know, if it didn't work out, I was going to go to San Diego, which was a great spot for a, you know, guy who played in the NHL, good lifestyle. And, you know, I went to camp with a pretty good outlook. And then, you know, training camp starts and, you know, I see Shea Theodore out there skating the way he can. And, another kid that caught my eye was Brandon Montour right away. And, you know, right then and there, I kind of knew that, you know, my chances of making the team weren't very good. My job was to go down there and help these kids, give them the ins and outs of being pro. I sat in between Theo and Monty the whole entire year in San Diego. Both unbelievable kids. Great players, obviously. And I honestly thought, Coop, that both of them were going to play for the Anaheim Ducks for a very long time. Now, with the expansion draft, obviously, you can only protect so many people. They didn't protect Stoner. So I think, obviously, part of the deal was if you can have Shea Theodore, but you got to take Clayton Stoner's contract off the books. So that's why they lost Theo. And when it comes to the Montour trade to Buffalo, that one never really made sense to me. I love that kid. He's got tons of swag to his game. But to answer your question, I thought both those kids would be playing for the Ducks for a long time.
How can Brandon Montour shoot the puck as hard as he does, but despite being such a little guy?
Yeah, well, he's a smaller guy, but he's in great shape. He's a strong kid. You know, just the way he jumped in the play, how quick he could shoot the puck. He could get it through from all angles. And, you know, when I started playing with him, the one thing I said to him when we started getting to know each other, I said, kid, you have everything. you just need to learn to pass the puck at an NHL level. So every day after practice, we'd work on passing the puck extremely hard to each other, from blue line to red line, just passing as hard as we can, taking it hard, because he had everything else. And you know, it was just my opinion as an old veteran guy that I said, hey, Monty, if you can start snapping the puck at an NHL level, sky's the limit for you. And he's turned into a really good NHLer.
And I think the genesis of Eric writing the story had to do with Pittsburgh being in town and Marcus Pettersson coming to town, armed with his new 5-year contract, probably not driving his Volkswagen Jetta anymore, which is the car that he drove when he was in Anaheim and going up and down I-5 or 405 or whatever freeway it is you take between Anaheim and San Diego. I believe it's 405 turns to 5. Sorry, I'm not super native to California, but did you play with him in San Diego at all? Do you know his game much?
I never played with his game. And in fairness to, you've talked about this trade a lot, and you know, he's turned himself into a solid NHL defenseman. And you know, when I saw him play in Anaheim, I personally didn't think he was very good either. So, you know, when Murph made the move, I didn't think it was going to turn into something like this, that this kid was going to turn into a legit NHLer. And you know, we've talked about trades before and situations. Some guys, you know, you look at Kovalchuk, LA just wasn't a good fit for him. He goes to Montreal, lights it up. You know, this kid found a home in Pittsburgh, obviously got some confidence. Being on a good team always helps. I mean, you know, when you're playing with Crosby and Malkin as a defenseman, they're so good in their own zone. They're always in the right place. They're easy outlet passes. So kudos to that kid. He's worked hard, made himself an NHLer, but I just think it was a perfect fit for him, and he's ran with it. And like you said, he's got a nice new shiny 5-year deal.
And you make a really good point there, in that when you're a defenseman like him who may struggle a bit in his own zone, when you're playing in the other team's zone, it makes you look a lot better, right?
Yeah, I mean, every defenseman loves playing in the offensive zone. Even if we're not getting the puck a whole lot, it's just, you know, you're relaxing, you're in the play a bit. If you want to jump in, you can. You want to keep a puck in on the wall, you keep a puck in on the wall with a pinch, and it's just a time to relax. And then, you know, obviously in the D zone is where you make your money, but when you're playing in the offensive zone all night as a defenseman, your life and your night is really, really easy.
But you were a defensive defenseman to a degree. I mean, didn't you like that old-time hockey, rubbing guys out in front? I mean, kind of sticking them a little bit, you know?
No, I loved it. I mean, that's where I made my bread and butter. But I mean, I wouldn't want to be in my own zone for 45 seconds. You know, if you're in there for 20 seconds, 15 seconds, you make a good play defensively, you break it out, and boom, you're gone the other way. That's a defenseman's dream. Now, you know, when you get hemmed in there and get a little bit tired, I don't care if you're, you know, the top defenseman in the league, you know, you're going to get tired, you're going to get worn down, and eventually you're going to make mistakes. So if you ask any defenseman, the cleaner you can get out of your zone, one quick pass, you know, that's what you're trying to do night in and night out at the NHL level.
Sitting between Brandon Montour and Shea Theodore, were there any points where you're like, oh shit, I feel old talking to these guys? Like, was there any time they were talking about like Fortnite or anything like that?
No, they didn't talk about video games, thank God. I maybe would have lost my fucking mind. But you know what? They made me feel young. They were just as important to me as I was to them. You know, we should maybe try to get those boys on sometimes and see what they have to say. But I thought it was, you know, great for them. It was great for me. Me and Theo, we were D partners the second half of the year when he was up and down. But when he was down, we played together. And I just taught him about communication. I mean, he had all the skills. He was 10 times the skater I was. The ability to jump in the rush I never had, but his communication wasn't where it needed to be when he first turned pro. And, you know, I just stressed to him day in and day out, Theo, you got to talk, you got to communicate, you got to let me know where you're at all times. And, you know, at the end of the year, I remember him saying to me, you know, that helped me out tremendously, Obes. And I think I watched him play in Vegas when I went out there to watch him play the Hawks, and he was talking on the bench and talking on the ice, and you could just tell he turned into a veteran guy. And, you know, when it came to Montour, he was the other way. He was talking the whole game, tons of swagger, always into it. And, you know, for him, sometimes I would just say, less is more, money. You know, stay underneath the puck, let the play come to you. And you never want to lead the rush as a D, you want to join the rush. So they were two different kids, two great kids, and I love sitting in between them in San Diego.
Seemed like it would be a lot of fun overall.
Yeah, we had some good laughs.
I can only imagine. We move onwards to talk about the big reunion coming up this upcoming Thursday between the Kings and all the people they shipped off to the Maple Leafs, except Jake Muzzin, who's injured. Don't know if he's going to be there or not, but obviously he's got a lot of family. I'm sure friends that are still in Los Angeles. But Kyle Clifford, Jack Campbell, Kyle Clifford, part of two Kings Stanley Cup runs. Jack Campbell, a guy whose career they resurrected, really, it seems to have stabilized the Maple Leafs goaltending to a degree. They love him up there. I mean, you follow the Leafs, right? I mean, he's coming to the podcast. They love him, right, Obi?
Yeah, he was exactly what they needed up there. you know, they had their backup goaltender was really struggling, and we've talked about it before. When you're playing in the Canadian market, especially Toronto, it's like playing for the New York Yankees. It's just the media's insane, the fans are insane, and Freddie's had a great year, but they needed some stability in their backup position. And Campbell's come in and done a great job. I watched him play last night in San Jose. And when he first got to Toronto, he was playing unbelievable for them. So it was something the Leafs needed. Hopefully Freddie Anderson stays healthy, but if he doesn't, they got Jack Campbell in there who is more than capable of going into a playoff series and giving the goaltending they need to win the series.
And Jake Muzzin was traded to the Maple Leafs a year ago. And then on February 5th, the Kings sent Campbell and Clifford to the Leafs for Trevor Moore, a third-round pick in 2020, and an additional third-round pick in 2021. I went to practice yesterday for the Kings and got a whole bunch of players talking about these guys. So first is Jarrett Stoll.
Stoley, babe.
Cliffy, he was one of those heart and soul guys. You know, he's a guy that every team needs at least one of those guys. You know, a guy to stick up for his teammates, just go to war, do absolutely anything. And you know, he obviously wasn't a guy that, you know, put up a lot of points and scored a lot of goals, but you know, he was just important as a guy like, you know, a Kopitar or a Brown or a Quick. You know, you gotta, in order to win, you gotta have, everybody has a role, everybody has to play their role. For a team to be successful, I think, and Cliffy was a guy that did that to a T. And you know, he created a very good culture here. He helped with the culture, I think, and you know, later on in his career, like the last couple of years with the team here, he really took on a leadership role and worked with the young guys a lot, involved the young guys a lot, had those guys over for dinners and hanging out and organizing beach days and things like that, you know, are invaluable to a team. And he was one of those guys that meant a lot.
Organizing beach days, Obes. I mean, but really, I mean, but sounds like a lot of fun overall, just in general as a guy, and just really important to those cup runs. And Jarrett Stoll can really speak to that as kind of a heart and soul type guy.
Yeah, it's the ultimate compliment when, you know, especially a guy like Jarrett Stoll. I mean, Coop, you know how I feel about him as a friend and a player and playing against him and how much Stoll meant to those Kings teams. I could just tell, you know, playing against them and, you know, when I hung out with him a little bit. And, you know, when you get a compliment like that from one of your ex-teammates, that's how important Kyle Clifford was to the team. There's no better feeling as a player that when one of your ex-teammates say that. So it's something we all knew about Kyle Clifford. He plays hard every night. It's no secret, but anytime Jarrett Stoll has that things to say about you, Kyle Clifford should be very, very proud of that.
What did Jarrett Stoll think of Kyle Clifford's volleyball serve?
Guys actually got pretty good. Cliffy actually got really good at volleyball. He was one of those guys that had the jump serve going all the time. So, yeah, just good times, fun times away from the rink. And, you know, especially in the summer, it's important to still hang out and, you know, get those keep those relationships pretty strong.
When I think of hockey players playing beach volleyball, I think Top Gun. Is that how it was with the Kings? Is that what it was like when you played beach volleyball, Obi?
I don't think we were quite at the level as Top Gun. Those guys seemed to have some pretty good chemistry, Maverick and Goose, in that scene. One of the best scenes ever in a movie, by the way. But serving the volleyball for me is one of the hardest things to do. So that Cliffy had a sick serve, he would have been great on our team. But I think I told you before, we used to go up and play the six-man volleyball tournament at Manhattan Beach, and you know, a bunch of hockey players, you know, having too many drinks, but we would play against these pro guys and they would just annihilate us. But so we were decent players, but when we played against anyone that actually knew how to play volleyball, we weren't very impressive.
Did you ever try to do the Maverick and Goose high five?
I probably have attempted to do the high five once in a while. The old up down, high five, high low. That's what they did, right? Yeah, we used to do that. And actually that was, I'm going to throw it off topic here. That was the 92-93 Blue Jays. Anytime a guy hit home run or whatever, that was their celebration too. So me and my buddies, when we were younger, we used to do it all the time. So I'm kind of good at it, I'm not going to lie.
That's amazing. Get the hard snap going. And lastly, what did Jarrett Stoll think about coming on Point Breakaway?
Well, hey, well, we've been on one podcast. It's the best one I've ever been on. So, so feel lucky, bud.
It's, nice.
No, it's a lot of fun to talk to you guys. And you know, whether there's stupid questions or...
They were not stupid. Obi's the best question asker
just
in the world.
No, it's a good time. It's always fun to talk to you guys.
We did not ask stupid questions on that podcast, by the way.
I probably asked him a few. He was probably talking about me and that that when it came to some stupid questions. But yeah, Stoli, babe. I mean, you could tell when I had him on the pod how much he meant to me, and you know, he's doing great for himself, and it's good to see him. You know, not just doing the TV thing, but also doing the, you know, player development thing. And anytime you can have Jarrett Stoll around your guys in your dressing room and organization, it's gonna be nothing but just positive energy and good laughs. And what can I say? Stoli Babe's the man.
Didn't know we were the only podcast he's been on. That's pretty sick.
I find that hard to believe too. I don't know. We might have to look into that one.
I don't know. I'm going to call bullshit on that, but I mean, he's a pretty honorable guy. So if I call bullshit on anything Jarrett Stoll says, I got to watch out. We got a few more clips here. Trevor Lewis, big time friends with Kyle Clifford, spoke about what Cliffy meant to him overall as a teammate. Again, another guy that won two cups with him.
He's a leader, definitely on and off the ice, and especially now this year with the young guys coming in. He was a good guy for guys to learn from. I mean, how hard he works, not only on but off the ice. I mean, he's one of the first guys in the gym. I mean, always one of the hardest workers, always one of the fittest guys coming into camp. You know, he did things the right way, and I think me and him were taught that as a young age too, like these guys. And you know, it's definitely a big loss, but glad he's on a team that's got a chance to make playoffs and to go on a run.
So one thing that Lewis said yesterday, the clip didn't come out very well, so I didn't want to use it, but he said that he and Jeff Carter and Clifford always used to eat breakfast together. How hard is that when you have that routine as a hockey player with some of your guys and one of them gets traded?
I mean, at this point of, you know, Trevor Lewis, we call him Louis' career, I think it's probably a lot easier than it would have been if this, you know, happened 4 years ago or whatever, 3 or 4 years ago. It probably would have been a little bit tougher, but, you know, they're both veteran guys now. They've been along a long time. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure the first couple of days when Cliffy wasn't there, you know, for Trevor Lewis and Carter and the boys, it would probably have been a little bit different. But, you know, it's the good and bad thing about hockey. And I got traded a lot and played on a lot of different teams, met a lot of great guys, great teammates. But then you get traded and boom, the next day, you know, you got new teammates and you try to stay in touch with guys, but it's just difficult. So it's kind of the shitty part of the business. But, you know, as a pro player, you understand it. You get it. I'm sure they're happy for Clifford going to Toronto in a playoff position, and he'll be missed. But they'll just share the memories they had forever, especially when you win Stanley Cups together.
Was there a guy who you used to do a lot of shit with together, like in Vancouver maybe? I think that may have been where you had your longest stop, or Colorado, and then they got traded, yeah. And it was like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah, I mean, in Colorado was Ryan O'Reilly and P.A. Pronto were my two boys there, and Vancouver was more of a guy named Alex Bolduc who was up and down in Manitoba that I would kind of hang out with, and on the road it would be Hordachuk and Wellwood and, you know, whoever, Kessler, Bubiak. So we had a pretty good, close-knit group in Vancouver, and then obviously in Anaheim it was Getzlaf, Perry, Penner. Nashville, it was the surgeon, Shergan Sitsiston and Joel Ward. And yeah, so it just, I mean, you go on the road, you have dinner with guys all the time, but it's more at home when you're, you know, you're a single guy, you hang out with the single guys, obviously, because the married guys are at home taking care of their kids and stuff like that. But the teams I played on, you could go out and have dinner with anybody on the road. That's kind of the teams we had, which I was lucky because I don't think every team's like that. But I would have a beer or a glass of wine with just about anybody on my team.
First mention of the surgeon in a few podcasts there. Quick reminder, we have to get him on at some point from wherever he is. I think the KHL season's over now, so he's probably living it up somewhere. Jonathan Quick was the next person we talked to. He's normally a man of a few words, but he had a lot to say about just all the guys coming back.
Spent over 10 years with you know, him, Paige, and the kids, and yeah, I mean, he's family. It's you know, him and Muzz too, and then obviously Super
yeah.
Here, so yeah, I mean, it's, you can't say the intangibles that he brought to the locker room every day, and work ethic, and you know, the things he did for our team that, you know, not a lot of guys in this locker room are able to do. So it's yeah, I mean, it's hard to explain exactly everything he brought to the table.
I mean, he mentioned Kyle Clifford's wife, Paige. These are probably guys that they did playdates with. I mean, this is a family here, and all these guys grew up together. So it'll be interesting to see what that tribute video is going to be like with all these guys coming back.
Yeah, so for me in that clip, the key word was family. I mean, that's how they look at each other. And I know I keep saying this about, you know, Stanley Cup. When you win a Stanley Cup with somebody, let alone two, and spend that much time together, it is going to be family. So I know Quickie a little bit, like you said, a man, a few words, but the thing I got out of that is he said family, and like you said, played with their kids, took their kids on play dates, like you said. So they have a family mentality those years, and you can see how much those guys mean to Quickie.
Think about, we do have some stuff from Andrei Kopitar. One of the things that he spoke about really well was about all the Maple Leafs coming back and all the guys and what they all meant to him. And I thought this was really fascinating.
Kyle, what he meant to this team, obviously, was he was a tremendous competitor. He was the ultimate team guy, always put team first, you know, protect the players around him always. And I mean, he's a champ. That's what it comes down to. I mean, he did a lot of stuff that most people don't see and don't realize how important they are for a team to have a guy like that. So, and he was all of the above. All three guys I've been pretty close to, and Supi was my carpool partner. Muzz was my golf partner, and Cliffy was sitting right next to me every time. So. You know, it's obviously very, it's going to be a little bit emotional for sure. I mean, especially for them coming back and us playing against them, but, I mean, it is what it is. We'll probably get together the night before for dinner or so or something. And, but then once the puck drops, you know, it's back to business. It is what it is.
You know, Clifford was the guy he sat next to. Jack Campbell was the guy he carpooled with. And then Jake Muzzin was the guy he played golf with. I mean, this is like going to be a big deal on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, you could see it there. And you know, the word I'm going to take away from Kopi's little interview there is champion. I mean, Kyle Clifford is a champion. There's nothing else. You can never take that away from him. You know, he was never the most skilled guy out there, the most talented guy, but he worked hard. Yeah, you heard Kopitar say would always protect his teammates, team first guy, which is another compliment that, you know, when your former teammate says about you, that doesn't get much better than that. When your former captain LA King says you're the best team guy or one of the best team guys, you know, that's what it's all about, in my opinion.
So it's not all about this, I guess, very serious stuff. We did have some lighthearted moments, or at least I did at practice yesterday, talking with Cal Peterson, who was a tremendous guest for us. I'm going to say he was a Hall of Fame guest for us, though Dustin Penner clearly number one now, I think, on that list after last week's extravaganza. He talked about how much he enjoyed coming on our podcast, Cal Peterson did, and this is what he had to say.
Well, it was funny. I was, like, in the car, and I was picking somebody up from the airport, and so I, like, hopped on the call or whatever, and then I went under that bridge, and I lost the call, and
I remember.
Like, shit, like, because I didn't know if you were doing it live, like, what it was, and so I kind of messed up, but it was pretty funny.
And how much did you enjoy talking to Shane O'Brien on Point Breakaway?
It was a ton of fun. I mean, like I said, I mean, it was really good questions, and you know, kind of fun. It was kind of a loose sort of environment or whatever.
I loved how it was funny. I asked Alice Turcotte about if you remember Shane O'Brien. I know that you grew up like in the whole Chicago Blackhawks or whatever. And he's like, oh yeah, you wore 55 for the Canucks, right? Is that how you remembered him?
Yeah. No, I mean, I just kind of knew of him like growing up. I mean, obviously, I was kind of a hockey nerd, so you just knew him playing video games and stuff like that. So it was cool to talk to him. He seems like a great guy and funny, and he obviously kind of has the hockey, the locker room humor still down.
Obi, everyone in hockey loves you, even guys you've, like, never met. Like, they talk to you on this podcast, and they're like, he's the man.
Yeah. Well, my coaches didn't love me, Coop, but my teammates did. But, yeah, no, that was very nice of Cal to say. And like we said when we had him on the podcast, I just found it cool. We were talking about, you know, his shoe game, the common projects he was rocking. And, you know, the answer that he told about the mentality of how he was approaching the American League because – you know, let's be honest. We like we said to him, he was a National League goalie. And just his answers and the way he carried himself, I know it was only a 15, 20-minute podcast, but I left the podcast being like, hey, this kid, he's got his head on straight, you know, calm, cool, collective, got good style, obviously, with the common projects. And I had a great time talking to him. So right back at him, seems like a cool dude. And I'm pulling for him in there. I hope he turns into the goalie that everyone wants him to be.
I think he's kind of turning into their starter, by the way. It's really interesting. He's kind of taking over that role just in general.
Well, yeah, we said that. Remember when we were talking about how they're going to fill the building and all this, and I said this kid's going to play all the games down the stretch. I mean, Quickie might get into a couple here or there, but, you know, they're going to see what they got with him. This is his time to get up here. He paid his dues in the minors. He stayed down there when he should have been up top, and he's going to get all the games coming down the stretch here. And The young guys are in there playing hard for him. And the one thing the Kings don't have to worry about is their veteran guys will continue to play hard for him. That's the culture they built there. So that will bring their young kids along better and help everyone in the organization.
Yeah, guy's only allowed 2 goals in his last 2 games playing, you know, really bad offenses in Pittsburgh and Vegas. Just kidding. Well, that does it for that portion of the podcast. Coming up, we have Jack Campbell, Maple Leafs goaltender, former King. Before we have Jack coming on, we'd like to pause for a brief minute to ask you, our faithful, amazing, incredible listeners, to click into the show notes for today's episode, then follow the link that's there to a very short survey. You all know so much about us, like, for example, the fact that I go to Disneyland with my kid, or the fact that Obi just lives the life that I want to live. And we don't know anything about you. So the survey is 11 super simple questions that will take you less than 60 seconds, I promise. So head to the show notes for today's episode, click on the link. And we really appreciate that. And if you haven't done this yet, please give us 5 stars because we're also a fucking 5-star podcast. Am I right, Obes?
You're right about that, Coop. 5 stars, baby.
5 stars. Give us some awesome comments or even just realistic feedback. We'd appreciate that. If you want to give us realistic feedback, if not, you know, amazing comments. As far as other podcasts on The Athletic, Two-Man Advantage with Scott Burnside and Pierre LeBrun. Pierre will be with the Full 60's Craig Custance from the GM meetings in Florida, where it sounds like lots of really interesting shit's going on. They will be joined by special guests, and Scott Burnside welcomes Bear Jackman from We Went Blues. And also, please, if you have not yet, go to theathletic.com/pointbreakaway. You'll get 40% off your subscriptions to The Athletic. And as we said earlier, please rate and subscribe to Point Breakaway on Apple because we are a fucking 5-star podcast. Coming up, Jack Campbell. Point Breakaway would like to welcome former Kings goaltender, current Maple Leafs goaltender, and mustache aficionado, Jack Campbell, to our podcast. Jack, thank you so much for joining. We truly appreciate it. And the reason you're coming on is obviously the Leafs are playing the Kings on Thursday. You were traded to Toronto earlier this year. So thank you again. And yeah, thanks for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to join you guys. And yeah, let's get her going.
Yeah, Soupy, Shane O'Brien here, buddy. I appreciate you taking time and your busy schedule to come on. And, you know, from a guy who was a former suitcase and got traded a lot, I was just curious, like, you know, where were you exactly when the trade went through? Did you see it coming? And what were your first kind of thoughts when you realized you're, you know, no longer an LA King and going to Toronto? You know, what were you thinking when the trade went through?
Yeah, it's a good question. I actually had no idea that I was even like thought about getting traded. So like we were in New York with the Kings and pretty much packed like the tiniest duffel bag you've ever seen with nothing in it. And I just remember Washington. I was supposed to play that night. All of a sudden during pregame skate, like the rotation of the drills changed and I kind of knew something was up because the starter gets like all the shots and I wasn't getting any. And so they said, you know, I'm sitting out tonight because there might be a trade. And I called my agent and he had no idea what was going on. And, you know, we later got word like 2 days later after that Leafs and Ranger game that they made the trade. So a little, you know, couple days where I was just kind of waiting and not really sure what was going on, but once it kind of got resolved, I was, you know, it was pretty weird feeling, but just really excited, you know, to be a part of such a historic franchise with Toronto, and really grateful for everything LA's done for me. So pretty crazy month actually for me, but you know, it's been transitioning pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. So, Soup, I know that feeling, bro, when you get traded and then you only have a couple things in your duffel bag. You're like, oh, man. But lucky enough, we make good enough money. So just when you got to TO, did you just go shopping and buy some new gear? Did you get somebody to ship all your stuff out? How'd you handle that? Because, dude, I know that's stressful as a player when you get traded and you don't have any clothes with you. It's like, come on, man.
Exactly. It's crazy. You know, these young guns in Toronto, they have this crazy style. So I'm trying to, I got a couple new pieces for that, but, you know, all the essentials, of course, I left behind in LA. So for the last month, I've been rocking like, you know, one pair of socks and, you know, the drill and, yeah, so it's been a bit of a grind in that regard, but you know, now we're in LA today, so I'm packing up a couple bags, so it feels good.
Yeah, Jack, Josh Cooper here. You mentioned how you were in trade limbo for a few days. What was that like? Especially after, I mean, I know you had signed your contract with the Kings and spoke so much about how you wanted to be here long term. And plus, this was an organization you loved and the fans loved them. What was that like just knowing that you were on the trading block?
I'm not going to lie. I was pretty hurt by it, but not like in a, like, you know, where I felt like the Kings were... I don't even know the right word. Like, I didn't feel, it wasn't like I felt, yeah, nothing personal or like anything hard feelings, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
I just like, you know, I really thought that it was going to work out where I got to stay in LA for a long time. And, you know, I just thought things were, you know, the results were speaking for themselves and, you know, things were going well, but I mean, I understand it's a business and they were able to get, you know, a couple pieces for Cliffy and I, but you know, those couple days where I wasn't sure what was going on, I just kept thinking to myself, like, you know, guys like Toffoli and Martinez, like they've been, you know, they've been hearing their name in the news a lot longer than I did. So I wasn't trying to feel sorry for myself or anything. So, you know, it's definitely a tough time and, you just got to kind of try to stay in the moment as much as you can, but obviously that's easier said than done.
Yeah, totally, Soupy. It's never an easy time, but you know, I saw your Instagram, and you know, I don't think people realize like sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard. But my question is, it seems like you're fitting in with the boys in Toronto right away, and you're growing the duster for Austin Matthews. So just explain to me how this kind of got rolling and how the boys started to grow in the duster. And obviously, you're one of the first guys who did it. So first of all, congratulations. That's super cool on a new team. And how did it kind of start?
Oh, appreciate it. Well, Maddie, him and Frederick Anderson, like both of them right away, like, I don't know, we just, they reached out a bunch and we've had like almost every day for lunch or you know how it is, you get the night before the game to go out for dinner with the boys and we've hung out like almost every day. So I've gotten to know those guys really well. And I know Maddie kind of, you know, he's got a great sense of humor. So I just kind of thought like, you know, I maybe take a little tension out of the locker room and grow a duster. And, you know, I think the boys thought it was kind of funny. Like, you know, anything to give the boys a little laugh, but nothing, you know, it's nothing crazy. Like, I mean, I'm pretty, impulsive when it comes to facial hair, you know, I'll, change it up on the spot, but you know, the guy keeps scoring with it. So, you know, I'm definitely going to keep her going.
That's awesome, buddy. I love that. Good for you.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask, Jack, you know, how much does the fact you were able to fit in with both the fans and in the locker room so quickly help? I mean, I saw all the pictures of you. You seemed smiling and happy right from the get-go. I mean, after what you mentioned being in trade limbo, how are you able to do that so quickly? And what's it been like just blending in so fast?
Well, I mean, I do appreciate the, you know, the support so far from, you know, my teammates and but also the city. I mean, the fans have been so nice and welcoming and, you know, I wasn't really sure what to expect. I was pretty nervous coming into Toronto and I think I said that in an interview, my first one, and I kind of was like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I think they might have appreciated my authenticity a little bit. So, I don't know. I just think, you know, we kind of are right for each other, I guess, but obviously, you know, it's a result-based business, so just got to keep playing well, and it's just been a great ride so far, and I've really enjoyed, you know, getting to know the boys, but also a lot of the fans, too.
And also, what is the biggest difference between playing in Toronto and playing in LA so far that you can tell?
Well, I mean, for all the guys who have played in the NHL and in California and then Canada, like LA has a great fan base, you know, winning 2 Stanley Cups never hurts that. And you know, like we walk around the South Bay and people say hi, but they're really respectful. And I always enjoyed that part of living in you know, the South Bay. But you know, you go to Toronto and you know, hockey's on, like the buzz for hockey and the Leafs and playoffs, and it's just, you know, it's just like hockey's in the air, I guess you could say, like all the time. And you know, I'm kind of one of those guys who does enjoy watching hockey when I'm off, and I do enjoy, you know, just like kind of being around that. So I don't know if it's for everybody as far as the overabundance of hockey, but I mean, it's definitely in your face a little bit, but you know, you can choose to, you know, tune it in or tune it out. But, you know, I'm still learning as I go about what the best way to do that is. But I mean, I just love, I love both aspects, you know, living on the West Coast, you get the privacy, but you still get really good hockey fans. And, you know, living in Canada, it's obviously nice to be back, and you know, it's incredible the passion the fans have.
Yeah, Soup, you say nice to be back in Canada. I'm going to turn the clocks back a bit, buddy. So I know you're a kid from Michigan, and you played in the National Under 18 program.
Yeah,
I'm a former OHLer myself in Kingston, St. Mike's.
Nice.
You know, what was your reasoning why you chose to come play in the Ontario Hockey League for the Windsor Spitfires? And dude, you live in Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, so you're honorary Canadian for always if you can live in the Sioux. So what was your mentality as an American at that young age come to Canada and play major junior hockey? What was your reasoning?
It's a good question. And I, you know, looking into the NHL draft, you know, like the year before the draft, I was kind of looking at it. And I, growing up, I always thought I'd go to college because my parents really believe in education. And, you know, when you put everything into hockey and you truly love it, you know, they kind of saw my work ethic and passion for hockey. So they allowed me to make that choice between college and the OHL. And I chose the OHL because, I mean, at the end of the day, I wanted to be in the National Hockey League. It took me a little longer than I had hoped, but, you know, the amount of games you get to play in the O, the way it's structured, you have, you know, morning skate, like, you got your games, you have, you know, you just have so many high-end players, not that there aren't in college by any means, but it just seemed like the right fit for me and my passion. So decided to go to the OHL and, you know, had two great years with two different organizations and learned a lot. So it was great.
That's cool.
So, Jack, when we had Cal Peterson on, I hit up Dusty Ebu to ask a guest question.
Yeah.
And so I did the same for you.
Nice.
So he asks, are you or Cal getting me tickets for the game? Because Dusty's going, obviously.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Your former goaltending coach, by the way.
Hey, Soupy, it's got to be Cal. It's Cal's home game, bro. It's got to be Cal. He's got to get the tickets, I'd say, from a washed-up pro.
Mean,
yeah, I would say Cal.
I mean, yeah, I think Cal's getting these too. But if Dusty comes to Toronto to play for this game, you know, I'll make sure to give him a warm welcome there.
Who would have better seats though for this game? If between who requested them?
Oh, I mean, the home seats are hard to get. You know, it's hard to do better than those anyways. So I feel like Dusty would have a real treat getting two tickets from Cal. You know.
it was funny just texting him and getting that. So I know you two are really close, and you're close to Cal and Quickie. It was quite a group you had over there, I feel like, just in general.
Yeah, it was an amazing, you know, 3.5-4 years, and wow, I learned a lot from so many different people, and just appreciate what each person kind of taught me. And the friendships I have, you know, I'm still going to come visit the boys in the summer who live here. And, you know, it was a special bond we had here, you know, training year round here and just hanging out at the beach. And I don't know, it's crazy. It's, you know, we're very fortunate to live in the area we do. And, you know, I just have a lot of brothers here.
Well, Jack, thank you so much for coming on our podcast. We really appreciate it. And lastly, real quick, do people in Toronto know you're a cat person yet?
I'm trying to sweep that one under the rug a little for now. But, I mean, I think some people might know, but I haven't made the announcement that I am yet. So I've been trying to slowly, you know, warm up the boys to, you know, opening their eyes on a new perspective. But, yeah, I went to dinner with Tyson Berry and I think Kerfoot. There were a bunch of the boys there, but a couple of them said how they're allergic to cats. Like, I'm like, oh boy, yeah, I better keep that one under the radar for a bit.
Well, hopefully you haven't seen the movie. I've heard it's terrible.
Soupy, I want to thank you, buddy, for coming on. I grew up a Leafs fan, so embrace it, buddy. It sounds like you are. It's a great city. You've already said that. And just two things for me. Can you say hi to my boy Tyson Berry for me? I put it through Colorado. He's a great guy. And have you checked out the restaurant Marble yet in Toronto? Have you been to my buddy's restaurant Marble yet in TO?
I've been there. I actually went with the Kings when we were in town. Oh, so cool. It's a nice little spot. But you'll have to let me know when you're in town. We'll check it out.
For sure, buddy. Thanks, Soupy. Stay healthy, buddy. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Had a blast.
Thanks, Jack. We miss you out here.
Miss you guys too. I'll see you later.
See you, bud.
Bye, bye.
Obes, I miss that guy. I really do. He's just a very fun guy to talk to. You always just feel better after talking to him. He's just the nicest guy, and he seems to love playing in Toronto, and has made the adjustments so well.
Yeah, seems like a really, really good guy, and, you know, you heard him use the word boys a lot and team a lot, and, you know, I just thought it was super cool being new to the team that he, you know, jumped on board with the Austin Matthews growing the mustache thing, and you can see he loved his time here in LA and, you know, was a little bit upset when he got traded, as always is. It's tough to leave a place, especially a place like LA. It's, you know the setup they have there, Coop, in the South Bay. It's beautiful. Their practice facility is great. Great organization. So he was a little upset, but handled it like a pro, and now on to Toronto, and seems like a really good guy, and I'm wishing him the best of luck moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here. I mean, he loved it here, but you know what? I think this is a good life lesson in that he's learning you can love it anywhere. And Toronto seems to be a great fit. And I loved his honesty when talking about the trade. So that does it for us at Point Breakaway. Again, rate us 5 stars because we're a fucking 5-star podcast. Give us an amazing review because, well, we deserve it. And also make sure to go to www.theathletic.com/pointbreakaway for your 40% off. And one last thing real quick, Cal Peterson did say he was going to be, wanted to be a recurring guest, so we're going to hold him to that. I am Josh Cooper. He is Shane O'Brien. Thank you so much to everyone who joined the show, all the Kings who we spoke with yesterday, Jack Campbell as well. Thank you so much. And thank you to the listeners for listening, because we are nothing without you. Take care, everyone.
Yeah, thank you.